Welcome to the first meeting of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee being held on this day, October 15th, 2015. I'd like to remind those in attendance that this meeting is open to the public. It's being videotaped and broadcast online. Can we all stand and do our move with the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the board secretary please call the roll?
Director Brooks?
Here.
Director Dotson?
Present.
Director Gomez?
Here.
Director Gonzalez? Director Sweeney? Chair, we have a quorum.
Let's move to public comments, the portion of our agenda. During this period, members of the public are invited to address the committee. We do ask that speakers please limit their remarks to under 3 minutes. We have Mr. Michael Charles Hilson, who would like to address the committee.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll be very brief. My name is Michael Charles Hilson. I work for a family-owned insurance agency, and I have an idea and concept that I feel can help the Illinois Tollway in reference to helping them save money, providing better coverage, and also increasing diversity. And my concept and idea is called the Owner-Controlled Insurance Program. I believe that this particular program will provide three things. We call it the three C's: cost, coverage, and control. And I'm also affiliated with two organizations, HACEA and also NIA, that can help provide minority participation to help with certain projects in relation to the construction owner-controlled insurance program. And I have a small binder here that I can leave with someone if you can look over some information. I can also leave my card, and that's my 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Is there anyone else present that wishes to make a public comment? Since I have no indication of the public's wish to comment, let's move to section 4 of our agenda. Number 1 under section 4, purpose and mission of committee. Next on the meeting agenda are the committee chair's items. All right, to item number 1. We want to communicate the purpose and mission of the committee. I want to thank you all for participating in this first meeting of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. This is an ad hoc committee formed for the specific purpose of providing policy direction and oversight of the Tollway's inclusion efforts in construction, professional services, and goods and services contracting, as well as internal and external workforce diversity. And in furtherance of this important mission, the committee has been charged with fulfilling a number of goals and objectives, which brings us to the chair's items, committee goals and objectives, which includes the actions deliverables asked of the committee prior to the May 1st, 2016 end date. The goal of this committee is to review current diversity programs and develop new initiatives that create access to sustainable jobs, provide opportunities for small and disadvantaged businesses, support mentoring and training programs, provide educational and workforce development assistance. This committee is also charged with providing recommendations to the full Tollway Board by May 1st of 2016. The Diversity and Inclusion Committee is anticipated to have multiple benefits for the workforce of Illinois, the contracting community, and the Tollway, including assisting the Tollway in breaking down potential barriers to participation for both firm and individual workers, creating a formal vehicle of communication for the Tollway's board to be updated on diversity issues, providing a forum to discuss policy and explore potential new diversity initiatives, ensuring greater accountability and increased transparency regarding diversity matters. The workforce of the Tollway's contractors and other firms should reflect the diversity of the regions we serve. The new Diversity and Inclusion Committee will provide a focus for the Tollway's board
on the issues and options for solutions and help direct us to new opportunities to promote diversity in everything we do. Having now hopefully provided a better understanding of the mission and goals of the committee, I would like to turn the floor over to Gustavo Hirondo, Chief of Diversity Strategic Development, Mr. Geraldo, and staff will be making a number of reports today to bring the committee up to speed on current progress and work going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And I do appreciate the time and the opportunity to introduce a number of reports that my staff and I will deliver this morning. But before we do that, I'd just like to take a couple of minutes to frame the issue of the diversity initiatives at the TOLE. I would just like to share with you that this program, the program for the diversity initiatives at the TOLE, is a relatively new program compared to programs from sister agencies, IDOT, City of Chicago, sister agencies to the City of Chicago, which in many cases are 30, 40 plus years old. The TOLE's diversity program is barely 10 years old. So it is a baby in some ways compared to the length of existence of some of these other agencies' programs, which in a way explains a little bit of some of the challenges that where they're going. Just like anyone who is growing up, you have to first learn to crawl and to walk before you run. But that said, I think that in just the last 4 years since our department was established, so in 2005, the program was formally adopted by the Board of Directors, but in 2012, the new Department of Diversity and Strategic Development was created. So we've been close to 4 years now up and running, and as I said before, we're trying to do a lot of that, catching up with those other programs in terms of our maturity and our initiatives on diversity. And that's kind of exemplified by the fact that in just four short years, we have done a number of significant changes in our program and improvements. We have simplified our DVE contractual forms to make it a lot easier for both primes and subcontractors to understand the rules and regulations of the program with the tollway. We have unbundled a significant number of contracts under Move Illinois. As a result of that, we also created in the last 3 years a small business set-aside program that has had an incredible level of success, both with non-minority and minority small contractors. We have also launched a very well-applauded veteran program, which is a model not just in Illinois, actually in the nation. Everywhere we go, we have all kinds of accolades in connection with how progressive this agency is regarding its involvement of veteran contractors. Actually, our model is being now closely examined by a number of other state agencies to hopefully emulate what the TOLE is doing. So we're really in the forefront in just 4 short years, and the forefront of many, many, many diversity initiatives. Our BEP program is a program that has grown by leaps and bounds, and we now have made a commitment that any contract and goods and services that is above $50,000, which is not the state standard for most state agencies, anything that is above $250,000, is considered for a BEP goal. At the TOLE, we're not happy with that. We said from the get-go, we're going to do it beginning at $50,000 and above. And so our data will show you a little bit of the progress that we made. Obviously, that said, we have a long way to go. We know that our challenges are humongous. We up to those challenges, and we know that with the support of this board and this new executive director, we're going to get there. With that said, I would like then now ask some of my staff to come in and provide some of these reports, beginning with Stephanie Stevens, our DVE General Manager, who will report on some programmatic data. Stephanie, I want to say something else. I'm so sorry. I just want to make sure that the board members know that you may have questions throughout the reports that we're providing today, but if you can hold up your questions to the end of all the reports, because we believe that some of those questions may be answered as we deliver the reports, And so I don't want to ask you to or demand, but if you could just hold up your questions, write them down. I believe some of those questions may be answered by subsequent reports. So that's it. I'm sorry. Stephanie, go ahead.
Okay. Well, good morning again, everyone, and we appreciate the opportunity to present our statistics and our achievements, and to we look forward to the questions that you might have. So on this first slide, this is an expansion of what you typically see is given to the board in the capital report every month. And rather than just the overall statistics, we've broken it out so that you could see our achievement by ethnicity and gender. And this takes into account the five-year period, a rolling five-year period starting back in 2010. One of the comments that I'd like to make about this is if we compare this over, you know, almost six-year period to just the first 9 months of 2015, there has been some progress. We typically report, you know, for that longer period of time because when contracts are entered into and when payments occur are all different time periods. So it's a lot more realistic to generally report a span of time. But I do want you to know that, for instance, in African American, the total distribution of payments over this longer period is 9.7, but if we look at just the first 9 months of 2015, it has increased to 10.42. Asian Indian has increased to 14.53, Asian Pacific to 4.59, Hispanic owned to 47.25, and even Native American to 0.65.
I'm sorry, I apologize. These numbers aren't on. You're giving us.
I'm giving you just a comparison of the first 9 months of this year to what you're seeing on the screen.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay.
The 5 year running.
Got it.
So, as Gustavo told you, we have been involved. The TOWI has been involved, actively involved in diversity programming since 2005, and especially within our construction and professional services contracting. And that's based on board resolution, the Toll Highway Act, and, of course, our capital program budgets. So coming out of the CRP, the Congestion Relief Program, we began to tweak the program to different, you know, things that we saw that we could maybe do differently or do better. And some of those things that are now evident in the results, I just wanted to say, well, so we're led by our DVE special provisions, and over the last 4 years, 2012, 2013, 2014, as well as this year, we've had enhancements to those special provisions. And those special provisions guide not only our program internally, the operation of it, but communicates to all of the prime bidders and as well as the subcontractors exactly what all the nuances of the program are. So some of those things that we've done, in 2012, we expanded the agencies from which we accept certification to include Cook County. We later expanded it to also include SBA 8A certification. And what you should know about that, perhaps you already do, the tollway does not do its own certification. So when we count our dollars toward achievement against the goals, it's based on certifications that other agencies have provided to the firms. In 2013, we reduced the credit for suppliers from 100% to 60%. The thinking in doing that was to increase the actual contracting activity, kind of boots on the ground, to allow more participation by actual subcontractors, not just suppliers. 2014, we had a clarification in the special provisions that separated core work from contingency work. We were seeing that some of the goals on the back end were not being met because some items were included in the goal setting and in the commitment based on contingency work. And if that work got taken out, it would affect the bottom line. So we clarified that, and now we set our goals based only on the core work of the contract. And just recently, I think last month, we again updated the special provisions to include an extended time period for the submission of DBE data. And that allows, well, we typically would never have not seen any large activity with firms wanting to change or amend their plans and not meeting the timelines, but we now they do have an extended time period to provide us with all the documentation. Some of the other enhancements, Gustavo talked a little bit about the unbundling effort, and that started actually in 2012. The idea there was, coming out of CRP, we realized that the average size of a tollway construction contract was about $16 million, and we were not seeing much participation at the prime level by smaller firms, by DBE firms. So we unbundled the scopes of the work to package some contracts below $5 million. We have had a number of those, I think 91 contracts that are totally based on just being below that threshold of $5 million. But we didn't get the total effect that we wanted from that, because during that same time period, there was a downturn in the economy, and so some of the larger contractors were still bidding on those contracts. So the next step was, okay, how can we really attract primes that are small businesses? So we incorporated the Small Business Set-Aside Program. And that says these contracts that we've designated and evaluated for being under $1 million, we're setting aside for bidding only by those firms that have revenues of less than $14 million. And that was where we had, so far we've had 19 of those contracts that are smaller and have had good results with that. In addition to just setting aside those contracts, we implemented additional outreach, and we called it Are You Ready to Bid sessions that we made a part of our regular pre-bid conferences. And so that has seen good results as well. And I think someone else is going to talk a little bit more about the outreach. Some of the other things that were done that were not necessarily diversity alone, but, you know, system-wide, agency-wide thing, was to reduce the bonding and insurance requirements. And so without putting the tollway at risk, we were able to evaluate some of the contracts to determine whether or not the bonding and insurance requirements could be reduced, and thereby, again, allowing a greater number of small and minority firms to participate. We also adjusted the self-performance requirement. Typically on contracts, it might be 35% to 40%, but we saw that in order to do a set-aside contract, the bidder may not be performing the bulk of the work, may be subbing it out, but he's still financially responsible for the entire contract. So adjustments were made about the self-performance requirement. And then, as all of you know, we were also assisted in that effort by the recent elimination of the PLA. So, on this next slide, we have some more data, and this one gives the statistics about the small business awards, and more than one-third of the small business set-aside contracts awarded so far this year have gone to actual DM or WBE firms. The distinction here on the small business contracts is that these are race and gender neutral programs. They're not dedicated solely for minority or women-owned firms. And then I want to talk about, Gustavo mentioned our veteran-owned businesses. We, as he has mentioned, have a really stellar opinion in the community of having been at the forefront of establishing veteran goals. As soon as the state of Illinois implemented their changes to require participation at 3% of your contracting dollars, we moved right ahead to try to put goals on construction contracts, professional service contracts, and even goods and services. And we've had very good results with that. Back to the construction contracts, on the professional I'm sorry, to the DBE program, the professional services contracts, we've also had a mentor-protege program since about 2005. And that has been extremely successful. It's allowed the growth of firms from being that have been protégés to actually bid as primes, as well as a number of firms to secure additional IDOT pre-qualifications in a number of areas that they didn't have previously. And again, with the veteran-owned program, we just tweaked the mentor-protégé program to have a duplicate one strictly for veteran-owned firms. It's a lower requirement. The goals are lower for veterans because of the scarcity of firms that are actually certified as veterans. But we did have that. The program for mentor-protégés on the veteran side is now helping veteran-owned firms to do tollway work, because many of those firms had not, while they were maybe, you know, have licensed in engineering firms, they're not necessarily familiar with tollway work. So through the mentor-protégé program, that has been enhanced. The last thing I want to talk about is our business enterprise program, and this is for goods and services. So the capital budget is separate from the goods and services budget. We started out, this is statistics for fiscal year 2014. And the total budget was about $295 million. And of that, the dollars that are subject to the BEP goal is about 19% of that total, for $58 million. And what the state goal is, 20% of your dollars. So that would make us be looking for participation of 11.6. Well, we actually achieved 4.5 million dollars in goods and services solicitations, and that equated to 42% of the goal. So we all were almost more than double what the state goal is, and we're very proud of that. And you can see from the statistics how it breaks down between the different ethnicities. And I think that is my part.
Thank you, Stephanie. So next, William Jamieson, DBE manager, will deliver a report on our EEO numbers and data.
Great. Hey, greetings all. I am William Jamieson. I am the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Manager. I've been with the Tollway for 18 months. Mr. Stone and Gustavo brought me on in April of 2014. Basically, my duties have been surrounded by working with the ERP, the Enterprise Resource Management, improving the Business Enterprise Program, and improving the reporting of the Earned Credit Program, where we're updating the data. The other pieces that I've been handling is tackling any number of the issues that revolve around the day-to-day operations with the DBE data and issues. I'm a career public servant. Prior to working here, I had been with IDES for 38 years. Where I had served 12 years in regional management, and then prior to that, worked my way up the chain through local office management and working through accounting and reporting systems. So, I am giving the report on the EEO statistics. The first thing that needs to be said about that is the objective of the Tollway EEO program is to promote equality of employment opportunity for minority and female tradespersons on tollway construction projects. On our contracts, the tollway follows the federal workforce guidelines and works in conjunction with the contractors to facilitate achievement of all the workforce goals. It is the desire of the tollway to follow the guidelines as instituted by the USDOL. So, as we look here, we see the statistics presented on this slide offer a snapshot of where we are in terms of equal employee opportunities for the EEO programs and EEO progress. So from 2010 through the third quarter of this year, there have been more than 6.4 million hours worked on tollway projects. The breakdown of those hours by ethnicity is as follows. African Americans, 4.7%. The American Indian, Alaskan Natives, 0.8%. The Asian Pacific Islanders, 0.7%. Caucasians, 59.2%. The Hispanic Latino, 34.5%. So when we break the data down by gender, females have worked 5.7% of the reported 6.4 million hours, and while males have worked 94.3% of those hours. The tollway continues to be very proactive in working with contractors to comply with the federal workforce goals. To that end, the tollway works with community partners such as the Urban League to work with the TCART program to provide workers, as well as the tollway has its own earned credit program to facilitate meeting the EEO goals.
Thank you, Bill. Next, Marlene Big.
We're meeting
the minority goals. Yeah. We're a little short on the woman goals.
So.
Yeah, I think the DOL is standard is 6.9% on the females. So we're short on females. Next, Marlene Vick, DB manager. She will discuss the current technical assistance program, and she will elaborate also on the workforce development that program set William Jamison alluded to just a minute ago.
Good afternoon, everyone. Here we have listed our current technical assistance programs. You may have heard of them. We've had a couple of them since 2013. I want to make sure that everyone is aware the goal of all of our tollway technical assistance programs is to increase the number of small businesses bidding on tollway work. The IGA that we have for these two programs, Construction Business Development Center, Construction Coaching for Growth, have been in place since 2013, and we have had some good results so far. We've had a total of 158 participants, with the breakdown of 58% of that total African-American-owned businesses, 32% Hispanic-owned businesses, 7% Caucasian, 3% Asian, and we had a Native American business. You can see there on the slide that there has been an increase in bids submitted, which was one of the goals that we wanted to make sure the technical assistance programs did meet. Our upcoming technical assistance programs were recently awarded and to the Illinois Black Chamber of Commerce as well as HACEA. This new program emphasizes mentorship and long-term assistance, whereas the other two programs were what one may be able to call kind of focused assistance on a particular issue. For example, if someone had a problem with bidding or wanted to check out the website and didn't know where to go, the program run by the Construction Coaching for Growth was more of a classroom style, 3 months. This we intend it to be however long it takes. One of the reasons that we have this is for our upcoming construction mentor protege program, and we would expect many of the participants in both programs actually, but especially in this one, to be able to participate in such a program when it comes up. Our next one, workforce development. As Gustavo mentioned, as well as Bill, we have our ECP program. That was approved by the board in 2005. And while we have made strides, the 200 hires and $9.3 million in wages, we have continued to tweak that program as the needs have come up, as related by the contractors as well as by our training agencies. This, we have also had pretty good distribution as far as the diversity of the participants in ECP. 70% of them are African American, 14% Hispanic, 2% Asian, and 14% Caucasian. The woman and male breakdown is similar to what Bill was talking about before, 72% male with 28% female. 40% of those 200 hires, more than 200 hires, occurred during the Move Illinois program. That's important because we are really trying to incentivize contractors to hire these folks and also to keep them on. The other part that we've had put in recently is the hiring incentive for $15 an hour for those contractors who hire graduates from the TCAR program, which is an IDOT-funded program run through Chicago Urban League. We had a strategic partnership with them, and that is moving along. We definitely like to see more progress with that, but we are collaborating to look at what are the challenges to contractors hiring people that would be ECP eligible. That is it.
Thank you so much, Marlene. And then the final report today is on our compliance initiatives. Kristen Hamilton of Hamilton Engineers, a consultant that we have engaged to assist on various diversity fronts, will deliver this presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It is afternoon now. As Gustavo said, I'm Kristen Hamilton. I'm actually a consultant. Our firm and sub-consultants that we have working with us, our team was brought in about 2 years ago to help staff support with diversity and also with compliance issues with the DBE and EEO programs and all the related programs now that we have. I'd like to start off by saying that the whole focus and philosophy of the Diversity and Strategic Development Department, compliance is embedded in most of the actions that we take. It's not just looking at the numbers, but it's how to, it's the actions behind those numbers. For example, we do outreach, and as Stephanie talked about, we do targeted outreach for small business. We set up a very standard set of paperwork and protocol for reaching those small businesses. We make contacts, we follow up, we're at the meetings, the pre-bid meetings, making a presentation, following up with firms. We partner with the certifying agencies because also we don't, the tollway does not certify. So we partner, we know their requirements, we can help answer questions of firms, small firms, DMWB firms, veteran firms, small businesses, to help them answer questions, we can guide them to where they can get further help. Training and resources, since we our team has started with the diversity department, has really been emphasized training of contractors, subcontractors, consultants, sub-consultants on the paperwork requirements, documentation requirements, performance requirements. Also training of the construction managers and project managers at the tollway. The construction managers are our people on the field, so we want them to be familiar with all the requirements. So, you know, that's all wrapped up into what this department does, and we're involved. We deal with engineering and the other departments on a regular basis and help make that coordinated effort. Documentation and performance, of course, is what you expect when you see compliance. We do review of pre-award documentation. When bids are submitted in construction or when proposals are submitted, we make sure they meet the basic requirements of our special provision or our boilerplate, whatever applies in that case. During contract performance, we're reviewing the documentation, payment data, answering questions, you know, coordinating with tollway PMs, the construction managers, anybody involved to make sure that the contracts are flowing. We do very regular contract performance data, especially on construction when there's a change order or an extra work order. What's the performance to date? You know, do we have any questions? Final, partial release, final release, we're reviewing information then also. And on the professional services side, for example, it would be supplemental. If supplements are there, we're reviewing performance. And also on the BP side, we're looking at payment data in process. So everything we do is kind of geared toward the compliance, making sure things are being done correctly and, you know, everybody is successful because we want everything to flow through. We have so much construction going on that we want to make sure that that is taken care of. So, of course, when you get into the numbers, we were brought in, part of our team, part of our project scope was specifically to work on-site construction site visits, work with the construction managers. They are, have been, still are our eyes and ears on the field. They are the main caretakers of everything the tollway does because they're out there on the site and that there's so much going on. But we were brought in to team with them to help them answer questions, to give them a little better, you know, a better resource or quicker resource maybe to get questions answered. And to check in on what they're doing, make sure they're up to date on, you know, if there's any been any changes or special provision updates that might affect what's going on out in the field. But the construction managers are the people on the job site. Our team came in at the end of 2013, but the first construction season, obviously 2014, we're in the second construction season now. We're here to ensure facilitate the diversity documentation, ensure smooth project and close out for all the strategic partners, tollway, construction managers, contractors, subcontractors, DBEs, non-DBEs. This means we interact regularly with the CMs to check in on what's going on, and we're actually doing on-site visits. So we started site visits in March of 2014. To date, we visited 85 projects, mostly Move Illinois. We have performed actually in 2014, we had 334 site visits, 217 to date in 2015. For CM field office visits, where we actually go in, talk with the CM, we are also verifying certified payrolls, looking at some other paperwork. We had only 28 visits in 2014, but to date in 2015, we've had 112. So our follow-up now is improving, and we're getting a little quicker at you know, looking at some of that paperwork. And of course, construction, you always have a lag. You know, certified payrolls cover weekly, but they're not due till the month after the job or the hours were worked. So there's, you know, a lag time, and we're trying to compress that schedule a little bit and get quicker feedback. So that's, you know, when we're on site, you can see up here, we're verifying commercially useful function by the DBEs. We observe what they do. We talk to employees on the job site. We generally find that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. We have had three special requests for further further research or investigation into, you know, several issues. But generally speaking, and the construction managers, again, working with them, becoming a team, they know who we are now, it's been a good result. On the EEO side, and we did talk about this a little bit too, we do EEO checks on site, which is we're looking at, you know, who's working on the job, do those people appear on the EEO workforce analysis, make sure everybody's being counted, are they on certified payroll, prevailing wage, we do a spot check of many different things. And we do know, and I can report on the question that was asked, the EEO numbers. In general, the minority participation goal of 19.6% is being met. We're exceeding that. The average, you know, if we look at the average participation since 2012 on Move Illinois projects, it's over 39%. But on the female side, we know we have work to do. The average participation is only about 4.9%. 76% of contracts aren't meeting that female goal, while on the minority side, we've got 86% of those contracts meeting the goal, exceeding the goal. So we do have some numbers coming back in and helps us focus, and Bill talked about working with partners like TCART, our ECP program, and we're also coming up with a more standard response when we see somebody, a firm is not meeting their participation goals that will guide them to some other workforce initiatives. So we're, you know, trying to make that easier, get them to get that participation where it needs to be. And generally, I guess we're really here facilitating that documentation project startup closeout. There's so much construction going on, it's good to have extra resources to make sure all the questions get answered. So, thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. And I have two more reports. I'll try to be brief. I
take it as we take about 7 more minutes, approximately. Now, what we could do is, if you have questions about the reports from staff, we could contemplate them now, and then I'll deliver my final two reports, which are more of they're not really data-driven as much. Or if you want to wait for me to get delivered, I'm open for either option. So unless I hear some objection, then I'll move on to my two reports. Thank you. So the first report that I'd like to deliver today is on the highlights of the advisory council that met last week on October 7th. It is a council made up of a significant number of advocacy agencies throughout the Chicagoland region that have been involved on the implementation of our diversity program throughout the years. So 16 agencies came at the meeting last week, the afternoon of the 7th. And of these 16 advocacy agencies, our executive director, Greg Bedelov, opened the meeting, emphasizing the current administration's strong commitment to diversity initiatives. He also reiterated that such commitment should positively impact small DBE, MBE, and WBE, and veteran businesses, and underemployed individuals' participation and toll with businesses. And as an example of this commitment, he mentioned very recent improvements made by the tollway in connection with expediting prime contractors' retainage payments, which as a consequence helps accelerate the payments to subcontractors as well. The tollway staff then made presentations on the Move Illinois program by Paul Kovacs, Goods and Services by John Donato and the BEP program, and then the diversity staff presented updates on the diversity data, like what you saw today, our technical technical assistance initiatives, and recent upgrades to our DBE contractual provisions. Immediately following, a conversation ensued with the 16 agencies regarding the creation of 3 council subcommittees, one for program initiatives, one for policy issues, and a third one for workforce diversity. Comments made by various representatives of these agencies during the conversation included additional bonding and financial assistance to small DMWBE and veteran businesses, helping build a pipeline to become primes, access to talented employees, clear guidelines for good faith efforts and waivers to be shared with primes, and more emphasis and incentives regarding further diversification of prime contractors' workforce. The next council meeting is scheduled for February 3rd, 2016. Subcommittees will meet before the February date and create proposed working agendas and plans of action for the council. So that closes my report on the Diversity Action Council meeting. And then now, if I can have the next slide, please. Sir, never mind. Oops. There we go. Am I going forward?
There.
So now I will take a few minutes to talk about our outreach efforts on behalf of the tollway. Each year, the Diversity and Strategic Development Department attends or hosts numerous events throughout the region in order to provide information on upcoming tollway contracting opportunities, as well as emphasize the agency's commitment to diversity on all contracting opportunities. When asked to attend an event, we very rarely say no. Thus far, in 2015, tollway diversity staff has already participated in over 100 meetings and networking events with advocacy agencies, chambers of commerce, governmental entities, and workshop training sessions to prepare firms for upcoming contracting opportunities or provide critical updates about the tollway's diversity programs. We are scheduled to attend nearly 20 more additional meetings and events throughout the end of this year. This total compares favorably to last year when my staff and I hosted or attended approximately 100 meetings and events. Our goal is to ensure that firms are aware of DMWB, veteran-owned and small business requirements before bid submittals or statements of interest are due. Additionally, when the Tollway hosts an event, we share the contact information for meeting attendees so they can follow up and continue to build relationships with their peers. We are better as an industry when we provide real opportunities for small, diverse, and veteran-owned firms to participate. By maintaining a steady presence throughout the region, we can continue to inform and recruit diverse firms of all sizes and types and maintain our position as a premier governmental agency to do business with. We are more than happy to work with the members of this with the members of this committee and the board on ideas and locations for future outreach events. And so that concludes my reports today and our presentation. So, questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
You were right. You did answer many of my questions in the course of your presentation. I guess first I want to say I just want to thank